Welcome to The Dojo, the podcast where we turn marketing stories into marketing tasks that you can complete today to increase your ranking, your traffic, and all of that juicy good stuff that turns the business wheels round and round and round. This week, we're going to be joined by Andy Tuxford, our head of SEO here at Exposure Ninja. Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thanks, Dale.
Andy, what's your relationship to marketing?
So I've been head of SEO with Exposure Ninja. So I've been working in SEO for about 8-9 years now, somewhere around that sort of region. Before that, bounced around a few various roles in some of the UK's larger companies, worked for a university, worked for Boots for a while, all generally marketing related roles. So talking back 20 years now, so quite a while, but directly in digital marketing, about 8-9 years now with Exposure Ninja.
Incredible. You've done some fantastic SEO work during that time and been part of some of our biggest campaigns as well. So it's great to have you back on once again. We're going to go around the headlines. You tell me your headline and then we'll choose which one goes first. The best one will turn into tasks that marketing managers and business owners can complete today. So, Tim, what's your headline for this week?
Google is testing SGE in the UK and considering, apparently, charging for some of its search products, which would be brand new.
Jess, what's your headline for this week?
My headline for today is HubSpot relaunches its CMS as the AI-filled content hub.
I feel like these two subjects may be connected. And Andy, what's your headline for this week?
So my headline is we've just finished one of the largest algorithm updates from Google in quite some time. So pretty much March, the entirety of March was pretty much an algorithm update rolling out from Google. So talking about what they've been doing with that.
Okay. I imagine not just myself, many of the people watching, listening will be thinking, oh God, what did I do? Am I impacted? I don't know. Well, okay, Andy, we're going to have to start with your story first.
Okay, yeah, so good job. So, like I say, March has been pretty much the entirety of March was an algorithm update rolling out. I say it's one of the biggest ones because normally Google takes 2 weeks. They have a 2-week window, they roll everything out. This was 4 weeks, like I say, almost all of March. So, the biggest one I can remember, certainly. I can't remember one taking longer than 2 weeks and changing quite a bit. So some quite interesting things coming out of it. So where to start with? There's loads of little bits sort of coming out of it, as there often is with algorithm updates. So I think actually we could start, well, at the beginning. So Google's, I think they set the scene before they even rolled it out, if you were sort of paying attention to what they were putting out there. Quite interesting thing that I noticed in terms of the language they were using, talking about the algorithm update when it comes out. This was in their blog before it came out announcing that it was going to happen. They almost always talk about positive aspects of the algorithm update, rewarding good content, rewarding valuable content, looking for the, you know, rewarding the good sites. This one, they flipped that. They were talking about negatives. So to use their exact wording that they used is, this update involves refining some of our core ranking systems to help us better understand if web pages are unhelpful, have a poor user experience, or feel like they were created for search engines instead of people. So I mean, there's always positives and negatives from any algorithm update. There always is. We know there is. But Google almost always focuses on the positive. So I think this speaks a lot to their mindset going into the algorithm update. It wasn't to find the good content and reward that. It was to clear out the bad. It very much to me feels like they were clearing house a bit to get ready for a big change. And we all know what big change is on the horizon. So it very much feels like they were looking at clearing house to try and just shift that out and get rid of some of the poorer content to make way for SGE.
Okay. I imagine that some people listening now may not really be aware of what this bit over the horizon is. Have to explain a little bit about what this SGE thing is.
Yeah, so SGE, Search Generative Experience, a new element of search coming in, probably the biggest change to organic search ever. I can't think of a larger one, at least not a more visible one, because it literally changes the way search looks. If you've not seen it at the moment, it's only available in the US. They've started testing it, released it to the wild, as it were, with their testing. Previously, it was only available through Google Labs. And for a lot of searchers, 80% of searchers, through it, when you put your search in, you get this big box that opens up at the top of your search, which takes pretty much the whole page, which has an AI snippet in. So it pulls content from all around the web and gives you an AI generated overview of whatever you've searched for to give you a bit of an insight. If you're familiar with featured snippets that have been around on search for a while, you know, the box that has a bit more in it than the normal results usually takes a snippet off the page. Similar to that, but bigger, bigger and better.
Interesting. Well, we're going to come back to SGE in just a little while with Tim's story. I want to dig in a little bit more into what you said about clearing the decks. What do you mean by that? What do you think they mean in terms of clearing the decks? Is it that they just want to start afresh and have like only good content, or they're really dead against having any AI content spoiling the SERPs? Like, what is the intent beyond like preparing for SGE?
Yeah, so I think they've been doing it to clear out the poor content. So SGE, because it's AI, it's reading the search results, it's choosing some, usually between 3 or 5 different results that it thinks are very relevant to what you're searching for, and it's combining them together and then giving you an AI-generated overview. In order for that overview to be useful for users, it's got to be accurate. It's got to have good content in it. So I think they're using this to clear out some of the rubbish, some of the, and we've all come across it, the keyword stuff rubbish that people are just using. It adds no value to the user. It's just very clearly been built to create, to try and rank for a keyword, and that's it. They don't care. They're not adding value. It's trying to shift that out of the search results and bring the search results back so it only has useful content for users, because that's what SGE needs. It needs that useful content to pull from to provide its summaries. So from what we've been seeing in terms of the outputs of this, it very much looks like it's clearing all that. And Google's own statement, they're getting rid of content that is built for search engine rather than people, and the poor content that's not really adding anything, they're clearing that out. One of the areas on the flip side of that, where we've seen real big gains on a lot of sites, is where they're adding data to the conversation. So where sites are creating their own data points, we've seen some really big gains. They're the ones that have gained out of this. They're the ones that have won this algorithm update as such. They're the people that are adding data to the conversation, to the topic. And when you think about it, that's like gold dust for AI. Created it, it's adding data points for it to pull from. That's what AI lives and dies on. So it's rewarding that. Those are the ones that have won. Whereas the sites that are just regurgitating things that other people have said a million times before and just wording it slightly differently, they're the ones that have lost out. They're the ones that have dropped and in some cases been removed from search results.
Andy, I wanted to ask you about collateral damage, because often with Google updates, there's a sort of an intended consequence and a bunch of sites also get impacted. Have from what you've seen and from what the SEO team's been looking at so far with the sites that are impacted positively and negatively here, has there been much collateral damage? Have we seen some good sites getting hit as well here? And if so, what can those owners do to help get that ranking back?
Yeah, so from what we've seen, the impact has primarily been, so it's not just limited to, but it has been more in Your Money, Your Life sites. So those topic of finance, health, those kind of areas. Health particularly seems to have been impacted more than others. Obviously, you've got to be quite accurate with what you're saying around health, and it's an area that needs a lot of expertise. And informational content. So sites that rely heavily on blogs and blog traffic and bringing in traffic through that way seem to have been impacted more, whereas the more commercial type content pages seems to have done better, at least through the obviously it's not a definitive list, but through the one where we have actual data and we can see the actual data, seems to be there. And like I said a moment ago, sites creating data, so adding to the topic, creating their own information that adds to it, they've really done well.
That's interesting, because SGE certainly seems to be much more willing to answer health related questions than it does financial. So interesting there that maybe there's a bit more of a careful filter on the health sites. That would certainly back up your theory that this is clearing the decks ready for SGE's wider rollout.
Yeah, so one area that we've seen probably the biggest impact, and this is more anecdotal, don't have loads of data on it, but it's through people that I know in the industry. It's only limited to two sites, so it's not a massive sample pool, but it is those two sites being completely affected that we talked about. So we've had sites completely removed from the SERPs, so completely removed, but not through a penalty. So it's not through a manual action, it's not through a quality race guide, it's algorithmically, they've just been completely removed. Not lost their rankings, removed. So they are no longer in Google's index, those sites. They've been completely taken out, which is the first time I've ever heard of that happening algorithmically. But interestingly, like I say, it's not a huge sample size, so it might be of interest. Both of those sites use 100% AI-generated content. Mm. They're not using AI as a tool. They're not using it to help writers. They've literally just, you know, got an AI tool and just gone write a page on this and then just copied it straight over. They've gone. So they've been completely removed. I believe that's down to, poor use of AI. It's not adding anything. It's not adding anything to the conversation. It's just regurgitating somebody else's information. So why would Google want your information when it can get the original sources that AI has used anyway? So they've completely been removed. So potentially a warning for the overuse of AI in on websites. I don't think they're penalizing the use of AI specifically. I think it's more that they're not adding anything. They've just literally regurgitated somebody else's content with slightly different wording. So it's not adding value. Google specifically have said in the past they don't penalize content for using AI. So I believe them when they say that. It's just, I think it's more, if you're not careful with it, you just, use ChatGPT and just throw a topic in there and go, write me content on that. It's not going to add anything to it. It's not going to give any useful insights, add any value. It's just regurgitating somebody else's work. So that's not adding value. So that's where I think it's being cleaned up and removed.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of like pure content affiliate sites in various niche topics where they've been relying heavily on AI that have seen a similar thing where traffic goes in some cases to actual zero, which is, yeah, like you say, in the days of Panda and Penguin, you normally see that you get like a 10 page penalty or something like that. You could see you could see literally the rankings go from like position 3 to position, 103 or something like that. But yeah, to have an algorithmic penalty which removes you from the index is just extraordinary. That is wild. Do you think there's any way of recovering that, or do you think that's going to be permanent?
Start working on that content. There's going to be a lot of it to get through. Start working on that content, improve that content. You've got to add value. I mean, Google's not been shy about telling us what we need to do for years. You've got to add value for your users. You've got to add to the conversation, not just regurgitate somebody else's. So, they need to be getting on that content, getting writing.
Just today, I was looking at a video of somebody who works in the affiliate space and has built lots of websites and doing rank and rent, where you build a website for, locksmith near you, and then they pick up the leads and they sell them to whoever will buy them. They do a lot of that, even like link, they're a link vendor as well. They sell backlinks and, just the kind of stuff that you should never have targeted to your website anyway. And they've got one of their websites that is mostly affiliate content. They had a manual action this March, in the last couple of weeks. They've processed the manual action and asked for like a reconsideration after removing, I kid you not, 1,000 AI written pieces of content. They've got 10 pieces of human written content left. They've resubmitted it. The reply was that it's still, I was trying to find the words just now, but the response from Google was nonsense, gibberish content. And I looked at the content, it was showing the content. They put it through like this system that said like 0.5% chance that this is GPT or something else. And they're just like completely confused why they can't get like the remaining human written content back into the index. And I'm looking through the content and all I can see is nothing about this is helpful. It's just product name, product photo, link to Amazon, couple of paragraphs, next bit, next bit. It's just no real life experiences, no real life insights to share on the product. It's just a human may have written it, but it makes no difference. And that's where we'll come back to something you referenced earlier, this your money, your life, these search queries that relate to like putting your money on the line or your health on the line, come back to this general thing that Google has called experience. I can never remember it. This happened to me just the other week. Expertise, experience, authority, and trust. Like, you got to write content based on what you know from firsthand.
Yeah, you've got to add to the conversation. You've got to add to the topic, not just repeat.
When it comes to creation with AI attached to it as a bit of a co-pilot, since that seems to be the name that everyone's using, Jess or Tim, have you got any guidance on how people may be able to use AI with confidence in their content creation?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good for like brainstorming and that kind of thing. Like, I regularly use it to kind of help me. We all hate staring at a blank page. And sort of having that mind block. So it's really great to kind of get the creativity going. And I kind of like it to like back up. It almost feels like if I've written something or I've done an outline for a blog or a website page, it kind of reinforces to me, okay, I've covered everything. Like, sometimes I'll put my outline into an AI and say, is there anything I missed here? You know, just before I send it to Dale and waste Dale's time with stuff that could be included, you know. So I kind of use it in that kind of way. And there was another thought I had, Dale, actually, when you said about how this website had, like, you know, even though it was human written content, it was really poor. I think we are going to see this world, and I found myself doing it now, where I'll be writing and I'll be like, that kind of sounds like AI, maybe I want to rephrase that. And I wonder if there is going to be a thing that it's going to be like, okay, and if an AI could write this, then you're going to need to enhance it. And like you said, if it's just a product image and a link to Amazon, then there's nothing, just go to Amazon, you know? Like, I think they're going to be trying to find ways of like, you know, why are you recommending this? Or your website's just taking up space that it doesn't need to take up, really. So yeah, very interesting.
I want to come back to a point that Andy was making earlier about data. And Tim, you, in all of your SGE testing and observations from running with it for close to a year now, it's been about the importance of data. Is there any kind of more recent insights you can share on how companies may be able to use it or gather it? Because I imagine some marketing managers or business owners don't know where to start.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so far I've noticed SGE is fairly, at least in the test that we've run, SG doesn't necessarily seem to be prioritizing original data. I hope that that's a place it's going to get to. And I think long term, that makes sense. And I think it even makes sense to build for that world, because that's where Google has to get to if SG is going to be a winning product. But at the moment, SG seems to mainly want to just find sites that regurgitate what SG says, which leads to this sort of... I don't know, human centipede is a disgusting analogy, but like a content centipede, where you have this thing, sorry, you might want to bleep that. You know what I mean? Where you're just...
I'm staying in.
Yeah. It's a regurgitation cycle, let's call it.
An Ouroboros, which is like a dragon that bites its own tail. There you go. That's nice.
An Ouroboros, there you go. Yeah. And I think that's one of the challenges with SG, is they need to get it to a point where it can surface more useful and original information than a regular search result would or featured snippets would, for example.
Yeah, I think it's... I think it's tricky because they've got to balance between, like you say, Tim, surfacing that new information versus how valid is that new information. Obviously, if it's new information, especially if it's... maybe going off on a bit of a tangent to what maybe the general accepted rule is, whatever in that niche is, adding to it can be, it poses a problem for Google into how does it work out what's true and what is opinion and what is just somebody making stuff up. So it's got to get that balance, which I think is going to be tricky for them.
Well, and you're right. And I think this comes down to the core of how SG actually works, because Google's position is SG writes the answer and it then looks up for websites which corroborate the parts of that answer. So the implication is there that the LLM is the source of the truth, and then these websites just happen to say the same things. I don't think that's what any of us actually believe. That's not what any of us believe this thing is working, I don't think. And you look at any of the other major sort of AI search products, and that they sort of run a web search and then summarize the top ranking answers, and that's how they work, in which case the reliability, I guess, comes from the fact that these websites are ranking in the first place, so we can therefore trust them to be real. But you know, that relies on the existing authority mechanisms like backlinks and, you know, topical authority and the number of citations and all these types of things, EEAT on the page. So you end up just basically with existing SEO, and then the SGE is just a rewriting mechanism, which I think poses all sorts of copyright and various issues, which I would assume is why Google hasn't presented it as being that.
On the subject of SGE, Tim, it'd be actually great to hear more about your headline for this week.
Yeah, so mine is a few, I guess, a few little mini stories about SGE, or a couple in particular. So first up, the BBC reported last week that SGE is now being tested in the UK. So previously, if you wanted to play with Google's new AI search engine, SGE, you had to sign up for Google Labs, you had to be in the States, and you had to log in through a Google browser and usually on desktop. So it's quite difficult to use it. But then they've started rolling it out. They started rolling it out on mobile. They've started rolling it out on non-Google browsers. They've started rolling it out now in the UK to logged in users. But you don't have to be signed up for Search Labs, which is kind of interesting. There was also some feedback or some interview or some snippets from one of the Google staff members that went along with this article, which I thought was kind of interesting and may actually be more useful here. So I think the BBC asked whether the SG was still going to display links and whether it's still going to use ads, and the representative from Google said it was a priority to continue sending traffic to creators, i.e. websites, and they actually claimed that AI-powered search results were showing more links to a wider range of sources. How you have more links than the existing Google search results page, I don't know. So I'm not entirely convinced by that. But she did say the proof was in the pudding, that far more and that users were clicking on an increased range of sources too, which does back up our experience that SGE will surface less reputable websites in its answers than, you know, than you can get ranking on Google regular. There was another story around the same sort of time from Washington Post called "I Tried the New Google, Its Answers Are Worse," which was basically a scathing review of SGE, focusing on the misinformation that you can still get in the answers and some lower authority sites being referenced. One of the interesting trends, though, I think with all of this SGE news, is I've been curious to see how people's perception of Google has been changing as they've been playing with this AI, these AI tools. And I know that we don't want to trust internet comments to be like an accurate barometer of society or anything like that, but 218 comments on the BBC article about, you know, Google potentially releasing SGE in the UK. How many do we think had any positive intent towards Google at all? Any positive sentiment? What do we think?
Use website comments.
Well, maybe one, and it was the author.
Yeah, that's right, sort of ballpark. Yeah, I counted two or three. Overall, the sentiment was that Google's research results have been worsening in quality, and it was people saying, you know, I'm going to use this. I don't trust AI. I no longer trust Google. This sounds terrible. All that type of thing, which I thought was kind of interesting. Washington Post article, 300 comments. I counted four or five that had any sort of positive sentiment at all. So whilst it is internet comments, I think it's interesting to see that the public, at least the commenting public, does not seem excited for SGE. They seem to be incredibly untrusting. They seem to be very skeptical that AI in general is going to be useful and positive. And there really is a lot of resentment towards Google for what people perceive as degrading search quality, which I guess ties back to Andy's update with the March the March helpful content update. This seems to be one of the most important periods for Google in its history. That this March update has to be good. It has to clean up the search results, or Google are going to lose users to Perplexity and DuckDuckGo and all of these.
I find it interesting because a lot of the people who are using the AI tools available are first movers. It's not the vast majority of people who are going to be using AI tools and are more likely to switch from Google to Perplexity or Claude or one of the many others. And I wonder whether some of what's coming out from Google, whether it's being leaked or leaked intentionally, which is often a very common thing with Google for their other products. They often accidentally leak product updates before they come out. Just look at any of the more recent like Pixel phone releases. I wonder part of this is just the satisfaction of shareholders that just like, okay, we are working on the AI stuff. We are taking ChatGPT seriously and we're doing this stuff and we're testing it out. And it's more for them and less for the typical searchers of the internet. Whether a lot of the people that are commenting on there have a bad opinion of Google, and if Google has just kind of pushed this stuff out without any press around it, like they have with feature snippets and the local map pack and all these other improvements that never really get talked about or announced, people don't go, "Oh my god, this is terrible." They just accept it for what it is. If they'd have just pushed SGL without any fanfare, a lot of people probably wouldn't even noticed because it's not going to be for all search terms anyway.
Yeah, I think that is an interesting point. I think Google is definitely in a difficult place with its shareholders because their earnings calls, the shareholders and the investment firms are very much, they're looking at SGE. They're worried about the impact on ad revenue. They're worried about Google losing market share to other places like Perplexity or like ChatGPT. Google is simultaneously stuck with having, I think, an AI search product that I don't think many people think it's superior. Most people who've used it think it is kind of inferior or vastly inferior. But Google's sort of stuck with trying to push this thing because it's what the world seems to reward and it's what people want to see. People want to see that you've got AI everywhere. And this, if they don't roll out SGE, what's the game plan? If they kill SGE, if they say this isn't fit for purpose, what is the game plan? How do they fight back against ChatGPT? And whether they lose meaningful market share is kind of irrelevant, really, because shareholders will assume that Google is then absolutely doomed. So share price will go down and everyone's bonuses will be affected. So I don't know what the game plan is here. It's really weird and it feels a little bit late stage. But then fundamentally, I think we have to return to the fact that if you want to find something online, Google is more often than not the best place to go for it, right? We hold Google to a higher standard because we all use it so much, but featured snippets and weather listings and product listing ads, knowledge panel, maps, images, all of these things are genuinely useful to people on a daily basis. And you can say, yeah, DuckDuckGo, oh, it's so superior. Yeah, but if you want to find movie listings or you want to look for flights or you want to do any of these things or you want featured snippets, like how useful is DuckDuckGo compared to Google? Like if you did a shit, like if DuckDuckGo brought out a product that was like regular Google search today, people would be like, holy crap, that thing is amazing, right? I don't know. I think we hold Google to a higher standard. Fundamentally, it's a good product and it's still, I still think it's a market leader, but there is this sort of growing swell of discontent and I think fear inside Google about how they fight off these challenges.
There's sort of a really interesting thing that I've noticed, which is like technology is getting to a point where tech companies are struggling to do that mind-blowing moment, and I think they're constantly chasing that. So for instance, like the iPhone, when the first iPhone came out, that was like a mind-blowing moment. And then there used to be those times when people would queue outside for new iPhones and it would be like, oh, I'm the first person to get it, and it's like iconic video where somebody's like, I bought the first one, and it just falls out of the box, smashes on the floor. But that doesn't happen anymore, and it's because people are going, oh, Apple isn't innovating, Samsung isn't innovating. But it's because they've like almost perfected the thing, right? And then when they do try something different, like I think the Samsung Fold phones are just silly, but at least they're trying something new, like, at least they're trying something different.
The, is it new one is a resurrection from like 20 years ago?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But at least they're doing something a bit different and trying something new. And I think we are, like, when the original iPhone came out, maybe people were like, why would you need all that? That's ridiculous. And now it's like smartphones are like the staple, right? So I do wonder if a lot of that negative sentiment is coming from the same people who will moan that Google isn't innovating as well. And it's, I suppose, with innovation comes a bit of discomfort. And I wonder if that's kind of the phase that we're going through now, really. That's just a thought.
I think for the average person, there's no AI killer app yet. There's no AI use for the average person that adds to their life, that makes their life better. There's, even in simple ways, there's no AI for the average person. It's not doing anything to them. They go, you know what? That makes my life so much better. It just helps me. So I think it's not there. So people are they're distrusting of it. They don't see the point in it because, well, what's it going to do? They hear a lot of negative. It gets a lot of negative press from people saying, oh, it's taking away jobs from various industries and niches and so on. And that's all they hear. And to them, it's taking away these jobs from various people and it's not adding anything. They're not seeing where it is adding things because currently it's still in reasonably specialized roles where people are like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Makes my life so much easier. It's great. But for the average person, it's just not there yet. It's not really. Maybe SGE will change that. Maybe it'll launch, everybody will love it, and they'll be like, oh, AI is brilliant. Time will tell.
Yeah, I think there is that trouble with, like, matching it up to everyday usage. Like, Andy, you shared an article in our artificial intelligence channel earlier about, like, AI being added to fridges, right? And that sounds really silly. Like, when you read that headline, you're like, what is that? But what it actually means is that it will use the AI to make smart decisions about how your food is being cooled and the energy that your fridge is using, I think. And it also...
For a while.
Yeah, it will, like, you know, figure some stuff out for you. And that's the kind of thing that people would then be like, oh, actually, I'm really noticing the difference there. Or if it was, you know, I also shared, I'd come across a brand that uses AI to track everything that you've got stored around your house, or if you use a storage unit. And what was interesting as well is the person who worked on this was an artist. And when they announced it, everybody kicked off because they thought it was an AI. They associated AI and artist and were not very happy. Whereas actually this was a totally different project that had pretty much nothing to do with art. And I think that's a really good application of AI where it's like, you know, you can see, oh, I always lose my stuff. Now I can use AI to find out where my stuff is, as well as know how much is in my boxes if I need to pack something else away or whatever. So I think, yeah, I think you're bang on in terms of people don't understand how it helps them. So they're kind of like, why is my money being spent on this? You know?
Yeah, I've got one more point to share before we go to the next headline, as yours, Jess. And that is about... Intercom, who do customer service chatbots. I shared this video with Tim this week to get his opinion. I found it really fascinating to see the co-founders, the people in the C-suite. They've come back in. They're trying to do some content marketing, some PR stuff to kind of get people talking about AI and make it relevant to Intercom, because Intercom have done very similar, like, AI kind of stuff with their platform since like day one. And they're doing these videos to say, we see the impact of AI. It's going to be massive. People are not taking it seriously enough. I find it really interesting because a lot of people really still have not begun to grasp how impactful all this stuff is. And I know we talk about it often. I know it's often in the dojo, but people really aren't taking it seriously that SEO is going to be systematically flipped upside down and completely a different place in the next 12 to 18 months. Like, it's going to change. It's incremental, but it will be a completely different system. Like, visually, how it works, how people find you, find your brand, find your product, services, whatever. It's all going to systematically change. And if you're not already doing something about it, you have to start. And the first place you should go is to YouTube and search for Exposure Ninja SGE. You get a couple of different videos about how it works and how to rank in SG, because we have a lot of great campaign level successes with that for our clients. But another starting point is go to exposureninja.com/review, where you can ask a review from our team, and they'll explain exactly what you can do to get the very best out of your website, as well as have a little peek at what SGE potential there is for your website, as well as how SGE is going to impact you too. So go to exposureninja.com. I can't get my words out today. exposureninja.com/review to request your free website and marketing review. So we're going to stay on AI though, because Jess, your headline also includes AI as well, doesn't it?
Jess. I was muted. Sorry. I said, we tend to do this on this podcast where we all find our stories independently, but for some reason they all have like this little thread connecting them together. We've got this little exposure in your hive mind. It's quite good. But yes, my story is actually one that Dale shared with me, and it's all about HubSpot's new, basically they've relaunched their CMS as the Content Hub. Which is, you know, their content management system, which they use. I believe it's connected to websites and whatnot, so you can manage all your stuff in one place. And it's kind of good that we've come to my story last, because I think it connects in quite well with this. It's the whole trailer for it is kind of like AI this, AI that. You can make AI choose your blog titles, and then AI can write your blog, and then AI can turn your blog into a podcast and a social post and an email and this. And based on, you know, the research that Andy's done and just our own experience, if you use this, because HubSpot is in all the search engines when you're a newbie marketer, maybe setting up your business, if you use this and you're none the wiser to all these extra little AI nuances, then your website could be totally screwed. You could be putting, and you'd be like, why am I not ranking? I'm doing everything that I should be. I'm putting content out, I'm promoting stuff on social, I'm doing this, that, and the other. And then nothing's happening because it's all AI and it's all AI generated. I have to say, some of the use cases I did enjoy. For instance, being able to change an article into audio. Lots and lots of websites already do that, and I think that's really fantastic for accessibility, for instance. But I struggle to see the benefits to the wider world of the CMS being like, just do everything. Well, the Content Hub, apologies. Just saying, just do everything using AI. You don't even have to think about it. Do thousands upon thousands of articles and blogs and guides. It's just not, I don't know. It's not sending the right message at all.
Tim, who do you think this is for?
I don't know. I don't want to say lazy people, but it's got that, you know, passive income vibes to it. I can't get away from this. They're talking about AI writing your blogs for you, and that is the worst. Like, you may as well just do nothing. Yeah, I don't know. I know that HubSpot, and I follow Dharmesh, who's one of the founders of HubSpot, and he's really switched on. He's super bullish on AI, and I know he's a tinkerer, and he plays and builds some of these tools. And I think he built the chatbot, HubSpot AI sort of conversational agent thing himself. And I don't know whether this is one of his initiatives or something like that, but oh, people, be so careful. This is not it.
Yeah, I'd just be thinking HubSpot is popular, so if I'm using it, there's going to be a few thousand other people using it, and if we're all getting our blogs written by their AI, just how different are they actually going to be? We're going to have 10,000 blogs that are all basically the same blog. And then why would Google ever rank yours over theirs?
I think the way that I look at this is, you got to think like, who's in market at the moment for HubSpot? So they're trying to get enterprises, they're trying to get big businesses to buy their biggest, you know, hubs, the sales hub and the marketing hub and all this kind of stuff to all connect together. And it's going to be fantastic for their, you know, new revenue, new deal revenue, all that kind of stuff. But let's say 4% of the market is ready for HubSpot. There's the entire other percentage of the market that isn't. So it's like all the people at the front end who are like micro business, small business, entrepreneur, running their own little thing, freelancers. they're not ready for that. But how do you get those people ready for that? You got to help them along the way. Now, I think for like some of those people, a lot of these features will help them and will get them in the HubSpot ecosystem long enough to then convert in the future as they grow. For example, if we at Exposure Ninja use Keep as our CRM, we're kind of embedded in that. It'd be very hard to leave because of just how set up the system is. If we'd have started with HubSpot, we would have had the same situation. Like, we would have had a great difficulty to leave that, as we have with Keep as well. So as soon as you get people into your net, it's very hard for them to kind of get out again. But if you make something that is useful to them at their level, you probably don't need a lot of content. You just need a destination to send people through your other marketing efforts, not necessarily blog content to rank in search.
That is true. But if they join HubSpot and, you know, their business sort of relies on them getting online traffic, and they're using this content hub that is then creating content that doesn't rank, doesn't even appear in Google, doesn't even get indexed, then they're never going to become big enough to be a HubSpot enterprise customer anyway. So they're just going to do the content, be like, well, this is naff, see you later. You know, like, oh, I've just spent all this money with HubSpot to get nothing done. It's unlikely they're going to want to stay with HubSpot after that if nothing's happened, because they've got nothing to lose. They can easily just change to a different system.
But imagine if you're HubSpot and you've got a partner network and a whole bunch of agencies that you can refer people to, that's actually good for business. You can help people to a level where they have some content, they have some leads coming through, they've got like all their ebooks being delivered via HubSpot, but they reach a point where they're like, okay, I need to go up a level, but you know, this part's not working out. I'm getting leads from my LinkedIn work or the videos I put on YouTube. I have a podcast that's bringing people to the website. Some of the content is useful to help them through the sales journey, but I've reached a level where I need my SEO to go up a bit. Oh, hi, I'm your HubSpot representative. What are your problems at the moment? Okay, I actually know a bunch of agencies. Here's our agency directory. I can make some recommendations that suit your budget. That's good for HubSpot because those agencies are going to still recommend HubSpot, maybe makes HubSpot a little bit of money, probably not. I don't know how that system works, but this reaches a point where they can go, great, you can stay with HubSpot and now do SEO at a bigger scale. So it still benefits HubSpot.
It will, but only if those businesses are successful, which they won't be if they only use AI to generate all their content and then don't get ranked. That's what I was trying to get at, is that if people use this tool effectively and use it as a tool rather than using it to write all their content, and they manage to get traffic, they get traction, Google's actually indexing them, that's great. But what I was talking about is the people who are potentially none the wiser to this. They go in, they use HubSpot, their website doesn't rank at all, they get no traffic, no leads, no sales, they're not going to stay with HubSpot. They're going to leave and then be like, oh, okay, actually using this AI tool that HubSpot recommended to me didn't help my business, and now my affinity with HubSpot is ruined forever. So there's two risks here, two quite interesting separate risks, really, for both consumers and for HubSpot themselves.
And I think, you know, just to go back to the whole comments sentiment, there was also a video recently of someone saying AI on stage at South by Southwest and the word is booed by a room of creators. Like, I think we're getting to a point where, similar to what Jess was saying, that just saying, oh, now our service includes AI isn't necessarily universally celebrated, right? There is a bit more skepticism around it as well. So it's not like a given that just because you say right now you're going to be able to use AI in our service, you're going to get this sort of halo of attraction. Particularly, I think if people could see through it, or they could just tell from the brief or even the specification, a bit like what we're doing here, that maybe this isn't the greatest thing in the world. So I think people have got to be careful. But I can see from your perspective, Dale, why it makes sense for them to just add it to their feature list. Then if someone's trying to choose between HubSpot and Salesforce, well, HubSpot's got AI, so great. Doesn't matter if no one ever uses it. Just an added benefit on their mental checklist, isn't it?
Yeah, I think as well, one of the biggest things that puts people off when they're looking at, like, you know, creating a website, growing their website, at least in my experience, is the thought of having to create the content, they don't know where to start. That is probably the biggest area I find with clients, you know, people, they're just, what do I do with the content? I know I need content. I have no idea what that should look like. So even just having that, just to say, well, we've got an AI that can do it for you. It's that, it's, even if it's not that great, it kind of takes that, that worry away from them. Oh, that'll deal with it. So that was my blocker. I don't know what to do with it. They've got, the machine will tell me. So yeah, great. Even if it ends up not being that great, it still gets them past that blocker. So it gets them moving, at least, even if not rocketing, at least starting going in the right direction.
And it just goes to prove that there's no real substitution for human, like the human as a solution within all of this. You can create content using these software solutions. You still need a human to do the majority of the work and make it make sense. You can use Klaviyo or whatever else to do your email automation. It can't do it all for you, and I don't think it will ever totally be able to do it for you, even if AI improves at the same rate it is. You still need a human with expertise to do it all. Or if you're doing your SEO, you need a human to make sure that the strategy all works together. If you're doing some social, humans better understand how other humans want to see content and interact with it online as well. Like the human element is irreplaceable no matter how good AI is going to be in the future. So yeah, I think it's good to have a platform like this available to people, but it doesn't take away the fact that you will either need someone on it within your team to take care of it and make it make sense and make it work, or you need a partner to help you along the way to help you reach your goals. Any further thoughts before we pick a headline to turn to tasks?
I'm still bullish on the ability of AI to replace humans in a lot of these areas someday. And we're doing everything that we can to figure out if that day is today or in the future. Like, we're testing and experimenting relentlessly on these types of things. But yeah, I do agree with your assessment that it's definitely a not yet. And if that point changes, we will, of course, let you know.
Yeah. 100%. And on that point of being at the forefront, I was just thinking back earlier to when our teams, our content marketing team, SEO teams, have been playing with GPT software or based software since like 2017, 18, when like Jasper came out with using GPT-2 and then 3 and all these other tools. Like, we were all like, straight away, bang, right, what can we do with it? What makes sense? What's still going to be useful? What's still going to be, like, you know, clean for SEO? Like, always like testing it. So it's kind of great to still see us in that position of like, we're looking long term, let's figure out how this works and, you know, what to avoid. And if you, again, if you are unsure about how this all impacts you, just go to exposureninja.com/review and you can ask us to take a look at your website, or just go to YouTube and search for Exposure Ninja SGE. We've got a lot of content about how this may impact you or not. It's going to impact you. Let's put it that way. Cool. I'm going to pick a headline. Really hard to pick one this week. We've got the algorithm update. We've got HubSpot with its AI and SGE. I feel like I'm going to pick all of them because they all relate to each other. Sorry, but they're all related to AI and SGE and content creation and SEO, like ranking, not ranking, content, not ranking, all that jazz. So Jess, based on today's stories, what tasks should marketing managers be doing today?
I'd say review the quality of your content. So it could be that you have done all human written content, but maybe it was sort of outsourced to scale, or you know, it's just not really hitting the same mark that it had been previously. So I would say review your content, see if you could be putting more helpful content out there, whether you use AI to assist you gently in that or not. Yeah, I also think obviously check your stats, see if you've been hit with any traffic drops. If you have, it could just be general volatility with search engines, but if it's huge, then maybe you are one of these websites where if you've got a little bit trigger happy with the AI, you're probably going to want to get untrigger happy with it, basically.
Tim, what tasks or which tasks do you think that business owners should take from this story and go work on today?
I would, yeah, I guess it's like tempering the hype. So there was a comment I saw on LinkedIn, maybe to one of my posts, that was something along the lines of, oh, we stopped doing SEO like last year because of SGE and all this stuff coming. And I thought, you're making a really strange choice there, because you're saying that, firstly, because there's going to be an AI search, that traditional SEO is not worthwhile. That is completely mad, right? Because you know that SGE is still looking at the same search results. But secondly, you're making a decision about your today marketing on like extrapolated future possibilities. Like, the best businesses run based on the numbers and what their data is telling them, not on like, oh yeah, but what if this happens? Wait, we should just stop digital marketing because this is going to change. Like, that's just crazy, right? So I think it's just like looking at the data today and making your decisions based on that. But also, all of these AI search engines are performing web searches, so SEO is exactly the same. So just be cool, people. Be cool.
And I wonder if you'd mind sharing a few SEO recommendations or giving a few tips on where people should really be putting their attention when it comes to all this SGE and AI stuff.
Okay, so you just pretty much covered it. If you've been here, you need to be looking at your content. You need to be evaluating your content. Particularly, I'd probably start with your informational content if you're unsure where to start. It's worth, if you've got the data, if you're tracking those things, it's worth having a look and seeing, okay, which pages specifically are losing traffic. If you're not that into your data, you've not got all that, start with your informational content. That's where the majority of the impact we've seen has been. But yeah, start looking at your content and making sure you are adding to the topic. You're not just rehashing other people's points. You're adding your own take on it. You're adding new information to it. Make sure you've got to approach that content as it's got to be useful for users, not just targeted for a specific keyword. Does the user care what you're talking about? And what information do they need to help them make a decision, make whatever they need to do? Make sure you're covering that. And if possible, so looking, can you start creating your own data points? Can you use your industry knowledge, your what's happening with your business, to start creating your own data points? Can you identify, for example, are the regional trends, if you're national, you're all over the country, can you start spotting regional trends? Can you start talking about those? You know, that kind of information. And that's then adding to the conversation. Those points, search engines love them. So.
Yeah, we used to say deserve to rank, didn't we? Like, you have to deserve to rank, and I don't think that's going to change. Like, yeah, there's some hacks that you can do to get your SG, your content ranking on SG, but they're probably going to be short term. Like, fundamentally, the most defensible position is to deserve. If you want to compete, you got to deserve it.
Love it. Well, Andy, thanks again for joining us for another episode of The Dojo. I hope you'll come back in the future, but maybe next time, fingers crossed, there won't be any algorithm updates to discuss.
Hopefully.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us for another episode of The Dojo. You can join us next week, where we'll be joined by Danielle from our account management team to share a little bit more about what people are doing at the campaign level and perhaps a bit more than that. Thanks again to everyone, and see you then. Bye.
Yes. Bye.